And now I'm going to bring up our first Pioneer Site presentation, Montgomery County. And if you give me 1 second, I'll get that up. Okay, so I'm going to turn it over to Tom Jacobs of the Montgomery County Pioneer Site.
All right, thank you, Jennifer. Can everyone hear me okay? I hope you can. Ryan's a little low, but hopefully this is coming across loud and clear. If not, Jennifer, somebody let me know.
It sounds good.
Okay. Again, yes, I'm Tom Jacobs. I appreciate Brian and Jennifer having me on and letting us present what we've done so far with our ICM site. And I appreciate all of you taking time out of your busy days to join us. I should apologize for Steve Rochon. He's the State Highway Administration project manager on this sort of a lead for the Maryland Department of Transportation. He's actually on vacation. And he asked me to step in for him. So with that, I will launch into this presentation here, and hopefully it will work. Yes, it looks like it is. So the first slide there is talking operational. So why does the Maryland I-270 site need ICM? Well, real quickly, as far as the transportation network infrastructure, and I'll get to a map here in a second, but basically our corridor involves a major interstate, I-270, and a parallel arterial, Maryland 355. We have the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority, the local transit authority, the Metro Rail Network, as well as their Metro Bus Network. And then we have the county, the Department of Public Works and Transportation. They have their Ride on Bus Network, which also serves the Metro Rail Intermodal Transfer Point. And then we have MTA, that's the Maryland Transit Administration. They run a commuter rail, the MARC network, which is Maryland Commuter Rail, the Brunswick line, which runs from Frederick, basically down to D.C. And then they also run a commuter bus outside the limits of the corridor and through the corridor into D.C. as well. If I go to the next slide, there's a map here, which kind of shows the corridor boundaries. This isn't a great map, I'll admit. I'm going to try to bring up here a little highlighter here if I can, just to see if I can point some things out. Here, this is 270 running down the heart of the corridor. That's the interstate network, which runs into the Capitol Beltway, Maryland in this direction, and then heads down to D.C. in the opposite direction. This is the MARC rail line here, running down here through the edge of the corridor boundaries. I think there's 8 to 10 stops from the MARC commuter rail through the corridor. We also have a Metro rail line, which runs up from D.C. and stops at Shady Grove. That's the last stop here. The commuter bus runs up and down I-70, and it actually connects to one of the Metro rail stations, locations. And then what's not shown is the Montgomery County Ride-On and also the Metro Bus routes. It would just be pretty ugly to show all those. And then you got Maryland 355, which runs up along this Metro alignment and actually kind of runs up parallel to I-270 up through the corridor. All the way from the Frederick County line down to D.C. And so basically what we're looking at here, you know, this corridor really is a heavy commuting corridor. You've got people living up here in the Frederick area up north, and they're connecting major employment centers down in D.C., or Northern Virginia, I should say, which is in this direction. You got the Maryland suburbs down here in this direction, and then downtown D.C. is in that direction down south. Plus, have major employment centers up and down the I-270 corridor, and you've got folks living within the county itself thinking, you know, there's a lot of east-west traffic as well. In fact, some of you may have heard there's a major route being constructed. Finally, it's been on the planning books for about 50 years, the Intercounty Connector, which is going to connect I-270 in Montgomery County to I-95, which runs basically down here, and Prince George's County in the northern part of the Maryland suburbs here. So that's a little bit about, you know, our site. In terms of, excuse me, I'm a little bit under the weather, so I'm glad this audio is recording all my hacks. I'll try to keep those to a minimum. But as far as our operational conditions, like I said, it's primarily a major commuting corridor for travelers within and outside the county. Really, quite frankly, all these systems that I've mentioned are either operating near or at capacity. So 270, the MARC rail line, Metro, the Red Line, which is probably the heaviest congested Metro line in the system. So, you know, even with ICM, as much as we can do to improve operations, there's still considerations, obviously, for enhancing capacity. And when I say enhancing capacity, I'm not just talking about adding lanes. I'm talking about maybe adding some cars to the MARC line, maybe to the Red Line. But all those, you know, they cost money, and the operational costs and are hard to come by. You know, in terms of modeling, when we do model this corridor, you know, it'll be nice to look at not just, you know, operational improvements, but, you know, where it makes sense to add capacity. I know there's some talk and there's some looking at hot lanes within the 270 corridor as well. So, you know, we're looking forward to analyzing all operational strategies in addition to potential capacity improvements. In terms of operational needs identified, really, because everything's operating near capacity, I mean, one little hiccup in the system has ripple effects throughout the system. And by and large, somebody moving me forward there? By and large, you know, in terms of multimodal incident management, those are our, you know, in terms of needs there. You know, the Maryland State Highway Administration, the county, local law enforcement, they do a pretty good job in incident management on the freeways. You know, they've done some various analyses using CoreSIM to show how much vehicle hours of delay are being saved by the state's incident management program known as CHART. But they could be doing better, and they acknowledge that. They could be doing better in the areas of information exchange and multimodal information exchange. Right now, the modes are pretty much operating in a manner where they're trying to optimize efficiency within their specific mode as opposed to across modes. Signal operations, there is a computerized traffic signal system that's run by the county. They're enhancing that system right now, and they'd like to go to a completely demand-responsive type system. Transit and commuter management, in terms of operations, there's some pretty automated systems in terms of rail operations. Even the two bus systems run AVL systems. So they do a pretty good job there. They could be doing, you know, we could be doing more to get that real-time sort of status information out to the actual traveler. In terms of overall computer management, what we're sorely lacking in is sort of parking management, knowing what's happening at our parking facilities, the status, and getting updated parking information to travelers. In terms of getting information to travelers, traveler information, there's some activities obviously going on by by the individual operating modes, but we'd like to be doing a better job of getting better real-time multimodal information out to the travelers in the corridor. And infrastructure, that's a big one. We readily acknowledge that we need better real-time information and status of what's happening on the freeways, on the arterials. The transit systems, they do pretty well, and I'll talk about what we're trying to do to enhance some of that status information. You know, the key goals and objectives, how we are looking to have ICM help our site. Again, you know, these are from our concept of operations, and I've selected a few here along with some key objectives. So, you know, the kind of motherhood and apple pie stuff, we're looking to optimize mobility, reliability, and safety. And really, in terms of objectives, you know, we're looking to improve both predictability and reliability in terms of person trips through the corridor. We want to improve level of decision support in the corridor. That's an important one. We want better information sharing and better tools for both the traffic and helping them make decisions, as well as for the operators and helping them make decisions and how they respond to various corridor events. Enhancing delivery of real-time traveler information. We're looking to expand on the information we're already providing, enhance the timeliness, and actually look at better and improved delivery mechanisms to the travelers. And ultimately, yeah, we want to promote multimodal system operations and use. We want to kind of cross modes and not just look at things in our individual modal stovepipes, but how can we do a better job of enhancing the entire multimodal system efficiency. So let me go to the next one here. In terms of our stakeholders, these are our core stakeholders. We've got the Maryland Department of Transportation and the two key modes in that, the Maryland State Highway Administration. They've been serving as the sort of lead in our ICM effort, as well as the Maryland Transit Administration. And then again, on our core here, we've got the Montgomery County Department of Public Works and Transportation, and then WMATA, our local transit authority. So that's sort of the core. Now, there's a whole laundry list of additional stakeholders, but these are the folks who have been the core for us and who are ultimately looking to help implement our ICM system. Just a little bit from the institutional standpoint, how we defined our roles, as it says here, achieved buy-in among the stakeholders. Excuse me. Well, one of the first things we did was, with our core, we created an ICM steering committee representing those that core. And we deliberately kept it kind of smaller, at least at this point, to keep it more manageable. Now, so we certainly readily acknowledge the need to, keep our broader list of stakeholders involved, and that broader list includes, for example, the Council of Governments, as well as some of the other DOTs in the region, as well as law enforcement and other public safety agencies, emergency management agencies. The way we've done that is to use the sort of existing regional infrastructure, institutional infrastructure, for that coordination and outreach. So we regularly participate on the Council of Governments Management Operations and ITS Subcommittee and provide regular updates there. We participate in a group that's called the Regional Operations Coordination Committee, which has representation from law enforcement to public safety. And so we try to use those mechanisms to keep that broader list of stakeholders in the loop and involved, while at the same time we try to maintain a more manageable core decision-making institutional structure. Now, as far as long-term, we're looking to institutionalize ICM through a group that's recently been created called the Metropolitan Area Transportation Operations Partnership. And that, like I said, they formally kicked off this spring. It's a partnership that's formally been created of operating entities, and that's the Virginia Department of Transportation, the D.C. Department of Transportation, Maryland Department of Transportation, WMATA, the Transit Authority, as well as the Transportation Planning Board, which is the MPO, after Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. So that's the MATOC partnership, and they're really primarily responsible for coordinating regional transportation operations. And they were seen as a good sort of home for ICM, because what's learned here in the I-270 ICM, depending on what's successful and whether or not we're successful, can certainly be broadened through other corridors within the metropolitan D.C. region and even beyond. So here I'm going to talk a little bit about, hopefully that's showing up a little bit clearer on your screen than it is mine. It's not a great picture, I apologize. But I'm going to talk a little bit about the actual ICM system, looking at a very high-level component diagram that we've created as part of our initial set of requirements. And try to draw it here, highlight. On the left side, what you have is our ICMS, our Integrated Corridor Management System. On the right side, that kind of depicts all the external systems that our ICMS is going to interface to. So within the ICMS, you've got all the various high-level subsystems, data collection subsystems, fusion subsystems, decision support subsystems, all the way down the line. On the right side, these are all the existing agency systems. You've got State Highway Administration's CHART system, the Montgomery County ATMS, that's the arterial management system. You've got the WMATA Rail Operations Control System and their CAD system. Again, on the right side, you have sort of the existing external systems. One that's probably worth mentioning is CAPWIN. This is a system that allows communications between public safety and transportation responders in the field, and we're also looking to broaden that to allow communications between field responders and center-based responders through the ICMS, and I'll explain that in a second. You've also got emergency operations centers. For example, the Maryland Emergency Management Agency Joint Operations Center, which runs an application called WebEOC. And then you've got third-party traffic flow systems, which will be providing data into the ICMS, and I'll explain that in a little bit. And we've also got information service provider systems that are used to help deliver information to, ultimately, one of the key end users, obviously, the traveler. And what you see in orange are the subsystems and systems that have yet to be completely developed, that aren't there yet. So within the ICMS, the decision support system, and the information service provider subsystem, on the right side, the parking management systems and state police's building and CAD system. Now, I should point out, you know, I mentioned that systems that need to be developed. The reason that some of these other ICMS subsystems for our quarter don't need to be completely developed from whole cloth or from scratch is because there's an existing system in the area called RITIS, the Regional Integrated Transportation Information System, and our ICMS is building off that existing system because, for one thing, a lot of the related ICMS subsystems are very similar and can take advantage of the data collection subsystems, the fusion subsystem, and the data dissemination subsystems, for example. And so we felt that there really was no need to kind of recreate those. We would build off of what's already there. And there's existing interfaces between the RITIS system and the regional agency systems that are part of MATOC. One other thing I'd like to point out is that a lot of these data flows that you see on here, these are very high level, and this was meant to be kept simple. If we were to show all the data exchanges and flows, this would be a very messy diagram showing information showing in between the individual external systems and the ICMS, as well as, you know, leaving off communications and data flows between the individual subsystems. So that was kind of done on purpose. Let me clear this out here. So real quickly, I also wanted to kind of give you an indication as to how this I-270 ICMS might help us in the I-270 corridor in helping address some of the problems and some of the needs that we identified. So real quickly, you know, going through a very high-level scenario here, let's talk about a multi-vehicle crash on I-270 southbound, for example, that shuts down southbound I-270. Initially, ICMS's role, the incident, the I-270 ICMS's role in notification, for example, would be that initial call would probably come into the county's 911 system. That information, the relevant information that's entered into the CAD, transportation-related information, would feed the ICMS. ICMS would in turn feed the relevant external systems, which you have here on the right-hand side. So that would be sort of the initial, again, this is very high-level communication flow. In terms of verification, let's assume that State Highway Administration, the CHART Freeway System, has a camera there. They have a camera there, they can see the incident, they can verify exactly the initial information provided by the motorist, they can add some information to it in terms of lane closures, number of vehicles involved, that type of thing. And so they can do the verification, and they provide that updated information back to ICMS, which in turn, again, feeds that updated information back to all the external systems in real time, and at the same time provide that verified, updated information to systems like Kaplan, for example, which feeds responders in the field like Maryland State Police. Now, the interesting thing is, ultimately, our vision is through Kaplan, when State Police enters updated information in the field through their application, that data will feed back to ICM, and again, back through and updating all the relevant ICM-connected transportation operation centers. So there we talk about verification and information updates and sort of situational awareness. In terms of decision support, that's obviously critical, and that's a key that has to be developed. And that's not a trivial thing to do. What we're talking about in terms of decision support, so meanwhile, those initial notifications are going on based on data being collected by the data collection subsystem, the data fusion integration engine, the decision support system, the data archive. You know, we can use maybe some artificial intelligence or some other 2D developed real-time simulation programs to help the operational agencies make decisions in terms of what types of response, multimodal response plans we want to implement. So those response plans go back to the operational agencies for them to control their devices. One thing you'll notice is that the ICMS is not really providing any direct control sharing of devices. The individual agencies will be doing their own device control. So based on those response plans, they will be putting messages out on their highway advisory radio. They'll be using their cameras, their dynamic message signs, and the like. So then also at the same time, you've got the travelers here, and we'll talk about that combined with traveler information. You know, where we'd like to get with our decision support system is not just, providing information in terms of, you know, here are respective travel times on the freeway versus transit. We'd like to get to a point where we are providing actual decision-making capabilities that say, hey, you know, take this route to this metro station and take the red line in, and that will be, you know, the best way to go. And so you need that decision support system to help with those decisions. And that information is envisioned to go out through the traveler information system. Right now, goes to through information service providers, and then the information service providers will be sending that information to travelers. And you know, there might be an intermediate component here through the media. These information service providers have business relationships with various media outlets, and to get that information to the traveler. Now, through ICMS, we actually envision an actual interface providing traveler information directly to the traveler. It'll probably be a web-based interface for primarily pre-trip traveler information. Ultimately, in terms of actual real-time sort of route guidance information being delivered down to the end user in the field, you know, through some sort of personal navigation device, that will likely be through an ISP and some other third parties. In terms of post-incident analysis, again, we can use through ICM the data analysis and performance measurement subsystem. A lot of these capabilities already exist to do some sort of histograms of the incident, who responded when, what did they do, what messages were put up, what was the impact on traffic, and that type of thing. So, again, that's a sort of high-level scenario showing how the information flows would occur through our proposed system here. We're getting towards the end here. I think I talked about most of this here. Again, this is built on an existing platform, this Regional Integrated Transportation Information System. Excuse me. We do have to build some new systems and subsystems, which I totally admit is not trivial. What's critical, again, decision support, that's critical, again, not trivial. Parking management, I think ultimately for the success of our corridor, it again, is extremely important, and again, and not trivial because, quite frankly, right now they're going through and piloting some parking management subsystems, but there's a heck of a lot of work and infrastructure that needs to be put in to know exactly what's happening in all metro parking garages and the real-time status and getting that information out of those garages. Real-time freeway and arterial data is critical, and you know we need to do a better job of getting that data. And right now we're looking at third-party data providers through a company called INRIX. And right now, if for those of you who may or not be aware, the I-95 Corridor Coalition, which is a group of state agencies, multimodal agencies up and down the I-95 corridor, they've entered into a contract with INRIX to provide mean travel time and speed every 5 minutes for freeways, and it's a whole bunch of freeways from New York basically to North Carolina, as well as arterials, about 1,000 miles of arterials. I can't remember how many miles of freeways, but we're looking to build off of that contract to get some real-time data from INRIX on the I-270 corridor, as well as the arterials. And the one thing that came up recently is the importance of getting the traveler information down to the end user via personal navigation devices. We see that as being critical to the ultimate success of what we do in the corridor. So real quickly, in terms of lessons learned in each of these three areas, institutional, you know, our advice obviously is to incorporate to the extent possible and as much as possible the existing institutional infrastructure that exists. You know, try not to kind of create new institutional structures, because everybody knows, you know, they don't need another meeting to go to or another activity to get involved in. Embracing multimodal approaches. I can tell you that here in this area, the desire is absolutely genuine. People want to do it. I think it's easier said than done when it really comes push comes to shove in terms of actually looking at your operations and what you're doing and looking at the ramifications of doing multimodal corridor operations and how that might impact your system. Operational, improved operational efficiencies. We're definitely limited to what we can do by ultimate capacity constraints. You know, we can't get around those, and so we got to deal with those constraints. The operational approaches, yep, they're going to impact your operational procedures, and sometimes that doesn't always go over well with the operation folks on the ground, to be quite honest. But you got to work through those. Technical requirements development. We found as we were developing our requirements, and I'm sure anyone who's been through a development process has had this challenge of balancing, you know, to what level you actually start getting into design. You find yourself getting involved in design as you go through your requirements development and trying to maintain a balance between, you know, defining what the system should do versus how it should actually do it. And then one of the other challenges we face is, you know, we're really looking to, there's two ways operational agencies are going to get access to the ICM data. One is through a separate application, which we readily acknowledge is not the ideal way to do it, because these agencies and these operators have multiple applications running on their desktops already and being asked to enter information into those, and so automated data exchange is the way to go, and that's what we are working towards, ultimately making sure their native systems can accept and exchange data with the ICMS. Now, getting on their development schedules, they're all under different development paths, and incorporating what we want to do into their development schedules is always a challenge as well, and in some cases it might involve them asking them to do change orders or changes, modifications to their contracts to include additional work to integrate the interfaces we're talking about. So that's obviously a challenge. So that's basically the end of my presentation. Hopefully I did it on time. I'll turn it back over to you, Jennifer.
Thank you. We do have one question typed in for you, and I'm going to you know, encourage people to continue typing in questions. We can also open up the phone lines again in a minute. I know there was a few questions also typed in about ICM in general from Brian's presentation before, and Brian, if it's okay with you, I think what we'll do is maybe save those to the very end after we get through the Pioneer Site presentations.
Okay.
So the first question typed in for you, Tom, is, has the MATSC developed a regional concept for transportation operations, such as an operations vision, goals, objectives, and performance measures?
They actually have. They have very recently. One of the first things they did was develop their, as he says, the operations vision, goals, and objectives. And they're also looking at performance measures as well. That's one of the few things. I shouldn't say one of the few things. I said that's one of the initial things they've accomplished since they've actually started. And I'd be happy to share that with Tom if he's interested.
Okay, we have another question. How did Montgomery County get its regional partners on board with and committed to ICM? What approaches worked particularly well in terms of developing that commitment among the partners, all of whom have a lot on their plates?
Well, to be perfectly honest, what got people on board initially is the carrot, I will say, from USDOT in terms of the funding to initially create the concept of operations and the requirements document and, you know, the potential for other funding down the road. And at the same time, you know, these agencies, they've been talking about whether, we may not have called it integrated corridor management, but they've been working together sort of ad hoc for some time. And this concept, even though it may not have been called integrated corridor management, they've been talking about ICM types of concepts for a while, other activities, the Regional Operations Coordination Committee, for example. But this kind of provided the impetus, the catalyst, to actually sort of formalize in a more sort of direct way to kind of get together and get committed and figure out, you know, what we really should be doing in terms of integrated corridor management.
Okay, thank you. We don't have anything typed in. Let's open the phone lines for a minute just to see if there's any questions over the phone. Carol, if you could give instructions again on asking a question over the phone.
Jennifer, I noticed another question in here.
Oh, I'm sorry. It may have been sent to you only, and I may have not seen it. So please go ahead and ask that before we get to the phone lines, if you could make the question.
About what role we envision for 511/Traveler Information Services and ICM and travel management. It's a very good question because you probably know this from the diagram that 511 was conspicuously absent. At least in this region, you know, Virginia has a statewide 511 system. Maryland has not, and D.C. has not. There's been discussions and there's been various starts and stops related to 511 from a D.C. regional perspective. State of Maryland is working on right now an RFP for statewide 511. Ultimately, the ICMS will feed the statewide 511 systems. But to be quite honest, in terms of an actual plan for sort of a DC region 511, that's somewhat up in the air. And ICMS will definitely play a role in ultimately what gets implemented. And I will mention that MATOC is seen as sort of the umbrella leading organization for helping make that happen. Right now, I mean, well, previously, there hasn't really been a place to kind of park a regional 511 system and a responsibility for its development and operation. But now that we got MATOC, hopefully that institutional problem has been resolved.
Okay, thank you.